Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
Our Matrix server is about as free as internet chat can be. Join the existing rooms or create your own at chat.freetalklive.com.
Free Talk Live.
And we're back.
For those of you who are watching our live stream over at video.freetalklive.com or watch.freetalklive.com.
We apologize.
Yeah, we apologize. We've had a technicality.
Oh, it's an error on the screen now.
And, oh, wait, no, something's working now. Wait, hang on.
Oh. Captain's got his camera working.
Well, I'm not sure what's going on.
See the captain.
So the audio is running, though,
and we are
broadcasting. That is casting for broads. Mm. I don't, yeah.
How many broads do you think are listening?
Less than there are dudes.
Probably.
As a percentage or like in total?
Yeah, either or.
As a percentage, I would say it's probably 80 men to 20 women. 80-20 rule.
Yeah.
It's in that range. As a number, F if I know. I mean, you know.
I think it's much less than 20%.
Right, here's what we're going to do. We're just going to...
It's a liberty-oriented radio show. So if you're going like liberty numbers in general, it's probably closer to 5% if you're lucky.
Go ahead and keep talking for just a minute, guys.
I think there's more than 5% women listening.
Okay.
5%?
I think more.
More than 5% as a percentage
of
the total audience.
I would say 80-20 maybe sounds pretty accurate. 5 seems low.
And yet, for as long as this show's been on the air, if that's a historical number, was like an even smaller percentage of that has been compelled to move to New Hampshire.
There's more than 5%. I don't think it's 95-5 for New Hampshire people.
For men to women in, like, the liberty movement?
Yeah.
Okay.
I don't think so.
Okay.
I mean, I know. Maybe I hang out with a lot of families. Maybe that's why.
That
I know I know
data.
A lot of women. But
there's
I'm also a woman.
There's an abundance of single guys.
Yeah.
Yeah,
but
you should be playing matchmaker. Is what you should be.
No, that's Bonnie's thing. I can't step on her toes. Bonnie's our relationship counselor.
What is her success rate?
So that's not matchmaker.
I don't know.
She's not introducing single libertarian dudes to single libertarian girls.
You can introduce libertarian dudes to other single libertarian dudes.
I don't think the
if they swing that way,
they're going to have to at some point.
I don't know
out of women for them.
I don't know if that's... No, I don't think so. And I don't think that's the issue. I think there's plenty of women. I think maybe they might have other problems.
The women have other problems?
No, I think the men might have other problems of why they're not attracting
women. They repel women away from the liberty movement.
So it doesn't matter how many women we have. If you're repelling women, you're not going to get any.
Now, when you say repel, do you mean climbs down the side of a cliff with ropes attached to them?
No, I mean, if you're trying to get rid of a roach and spray it with, like, Roach Be Gone, which repels them.
Oh, boy. We're hearkening back to something from earlier. The listeners have no idea. Like, why are these guys laughing? Sorry. Sorry, audience. We were making jokes about bug spray earlier.
Right. Where are all the single libertarian women? Not here.
No.
Not here.
Not here.
Not here.
Yeah.
Not at all.
Because even thinking back to all the women I know, they're paired up.
And who brought them here?
I don't know. Probably their men.
In most cases, they're men. It's rare is the case, right, where it's a libertarian female moving for the Free State Project, dragging her husband along for more freedom.
Yeah, that doesn't happen.
Rare is the case.
Yeah. Oh, rare. Oh, I thought you said where is the case.
No, I said rare is the case.
Rare. Yeah. Very rare. Yeah. That is true. And also the Free State Project has a bit of a straight nickname as well. It's the Divorce State Project.
Yeah.
Because couples that move here, for the freedom and the movement and all that kind of stuff, I don't know about frequently, but it seems, you know, anecdotally, it seems like many of them split up once they
really?
Get here for various reasons, specifically the... And like, there's something to it. Like, if you haven't really had freedom, like, in a relationship or, like, that kind of a thing, maybe that's something you're going to explore as you explore more human freedom. And so, like, it kind of makes sense from that perspective of people enjoying and exploring more freedom where, like, you know, that might happen. Like, you know, some relationships might end and that kind of a thing.
Or you moved here for more freedom, you drug her along with you, right? And then you happen across one of the few single libertarian women that you don't have to convince, right, that freedom and liberty is a good thing. Go like, she's already better.
Right. Yeah.
And done.
Yeah, from a libertarian perspective.
I mean, that's why we're here.
Right, like there is something to be said about a libertarian guy meeting a non-libertarian girl, and then there's a, I don't want to say there's an education process, but there is.
Absolutely.
Right?
There
it's not like, it's not, I don't want to make it seem like the guy has to go through it. No, but like, if, it, and it goes the other way, too. If there's a libertarian girl, it means a non-libertarian dude. There's a process there for them to learn each other and their stances on politics and, you know, all things philosophy and human, you know, nature and all that kind of stuff. So it's a pretty deep subject, really, to get into. But the net effect, anecdotally at least, is... You know, oh, well, you know, if you're coming to New Hampshire with your wife or your long-term girlfriend, you know, best make sure you're solid on that, you know, or be prepared for some change.
Also, it's probably pretty, you know, important to note the high, just nationwide, the high percentage of divorce.
Oh, over 50%.
You know, so it's like we can't even blame this on New Hampshire, the Free State Project.
Not at all.
Just more than likely you're going to get divorced.
Yeah, I'm just saying that, like, it... anecdotally, and that means, like, I don't have any empirical evidence to support this, there seems to be, and, of course, the bad news makes the rounds, you know, more than good news.
Yeah,
so
exactly.
There just seems to me, like, more of that crossing my radar as people move here than the successful people who have stayed their couple and got their homestead and raising the kids and, you know, doing all the good stuff, the fun stuff. The bad news seems to make its rounds, you know, so I don't know what the percentages are, but it's enough for it to have a nickname, so, yeah, take
and
it for what it's
dude
worth.
Thinking about moving here, thinking you're going to, like, find your libertarian chick when you get here, right, forget about it.
Yeah.
Find one first and drag them along, and then test the market when you get
there. Are some very attractive women in the New England area, however, the quantity of them... because of the lack of population, is certainly lower than what I am accustomed to, right? When I lived in the big city of Seattle, there's hot chicks everywhere, man. It's like, you know what? I didn't like the way you just, you know, took a breath. I'm done with you, right? You can be a little more like, hey, there's another hot girl over there. You know, like, literally, you just walk up to them and they're there.
New Hampshire 10's like a national 6.
Yeah, thereabouts. Thereabouts, yeah. You know, I mean, it varies.
Swing through Texas on your way.
Oh, man, I love Texas.
if you're thinking about moving here.
Go pick up some chicks in Texas.
Pick up some chicks in Texas.
I don't know what it is about the southern accent, but it just kills me. I love a girl.
Yeah, go to South Carolina.
South
Get
Carolina,
you a southern girl.
Alabama, northern Florida, or southern Alabama, as I like to call it.
Yeah.
Well, Louisiana, teeth, Oklahoma, Texas, it doesn't really matter.
So it's funny, growing up I had a friend that was from Florida, and he moved up to Massachusetts when he was a teenager, and his number one complaint about Massachusetts, it wasn't the cold weather, it wasn't the snow, it was that the girls were substantially uglier than they were where he was from in Florida.
Yeah.
That was his big complaint.
Florida's got hot girls.
Yep.
It's true. Texas, though, I
would take the wholesomeness of Texas over the crazy of Florida, though.
I did a corporate training. A company that I worked for, they flew me to Dallas along with a bunch of other people from other states. They flew them all to Dallas. We stayed at, like, the Doubletree Hotel or something. And, it was free meals and put us up in the hotel. But
continental breakfast.
But this was pre-Uber, right? So if you wanted to go anywhere, none of us had cars. If you wanted to go anywhere, you had to, you know, take a cab. Fortunately, me and this other guy, who were both from Washington State, we actually flew on the plane together. We're seated next to each other because they booked our flights at the same time. So we got to know each other on the flight. And we both were like, yeah, we're drinkers, we're stoners, whatever. We get there, and we befriend the only guy from Texas, right? Happened to be from the Dallas area, who was attending. So they didn't have to fly him in, and he drove every day, so he had a car.
Oh.
And so it was, we were like the Three Musketeers. And what we would do is, you know, we'd go to our training during the day and, you know, get our, you know, study materials for the night. And, like, everybody else would, like, go hunker down in their hotel rooms or pair up and, like, do studying with each other and do the flashcards.
Nerds.
We went out to the strip clubs, right?
Yeah, exactly.
We went out and we saw, you know, bodacious tatas.
So that's why you love Texas girls, because you, every day you were there, you were at the strip club.
And I have to say that, like, whatever the Texas strip clubs were doing, they were bringing in the most gorgeous women. The talent level that was achieved.
No kids, no stretch marks.
Was just unbelievable. Unbelievable. Just stunning. And we would review, of course, all of our study material as we're, you know, watching these dancers and, like, you know, and we're incorporating that into, like, how, you know, what we're saying to each other and all that. The point is that at the end, the three of us, even though we showed up for every training hungover and late and, you know, all that kind of stuff, and smelling of alcohol from the night before or whatever, barely got any sleep.
Got glitter all over you.
All that kind of thing. Smelling like that vanilla crap that all the strippers wear, you know. The three of us were the top three in the class when it came quiz time. So, yeah it was a very interesting time. So I believe the technicalities have been remedied now. I see that one of our producers is sort of hanging about. So hopefully all is well now. And we can continue the show. In the studio tonight, it's myself, the authentic Lord Reverend Dr. Captain Kickass Buckshot Esquire, if you will. Joining me,
it's Nikki.
And Richie Rich.
Next
time I'm really going to try to maintain eye contact the whole time you say that.
Really?
Really.
That's kind of creepy. Yeah. It's weird. I don't know how I feel about that. If he does that, will you just punch him in the arm for me?
No, I can't do that.
It's a violation of the nap.
It is, yeah. He didn't do anything to me.
Can you, like, flick a spitball at him or something?
I'll see if I can arrange it.
Okay. The telephone number, if you'd like to join us tonight, is 603-283-6160.
I remember, like, spitballs in high school. You had to get the special pen that was a barrel.
Yeah.
And you could unscrew it on both sides.
Yes.
And you could hide the spitball in there.
Or you need to bring your own straw, right?
I don't think I was allowed straws. That wasn't a big deal.
Straws? What do you mean you weren't allowed straws?
Well, I'm old. Not as old as Captain, but I'm old. So when I was in school, like, no one had water bottles.
Yeah.
Right? You waited till break, and then you went to the water fountain.
Yeah, the bubbler.
Hallway.
Right. Oh, yeah, you guys don't call it that.
Yeah, that's water fountain. Either way, but that you waited, right? The students weren't canned around their own water bottle. So I don't know why I would ever have a straw in my bag.
Well, that's why you got to smuggle it in.
Okay. But then
bring it from home.
Well, yeah, but I smuggled it in as the barrel pen, right? Because then it's already inconspicuous with everything
else. And
that
probably would work better,
right?
Honestly, than a straw.
And you load up the spitball in there, and then screw it back together, ready to go. Unscrew. And screw it back together. Like, I don't know what you're talking about.
I once built a rubber band Gatling gun.
Wow.
Nice.
Yeah. I ordered the plans out of, like, it was either like the back of a comic book or the back of, like,
Boys Life magazine.
No, like a Soldier of Fortune magazine. I know. I'm like 12.
That should be like the real Gatling gun.
I'm like 12. I've got, like, Ninja magazines. I've got Soldier of Fortune magazines. And, like, all the, like, Rambo was just becoming a big thing with the survival knives and all that kind of crap. Those are big trends when I was growing up. Arnold was doing his, you know, Predator stuff and trying to be all sort of Rambo-like, so all of that kind of thing was big in the theaters or whatever. So, you know, maybe it was out of Popular Mechanics, too, because I remember ordering plans for how to build a three-wheeled car out of, like, the front-end suspension of a Volkswagen Rabbit.
Really? That's cool.
And a Kawasaki.
What?
Right?
That's cool.
So, and basically, you just weld the motorcycle to the front end of the Volkswagen and build some fiberglass around it, throw a bench seat in it, and you're good to go. You gotta run some cabling for the controls for the motorcycle and the clutch, but outside of that, it's pretty simple, and it looked all super cool and futuristic and everything.
Sounds like something Matt would do.
probably.
Well, tell him to get on it.
I never built the thing.
Well, he's building my Kawasaki right now, so it's got to wait.
I never built the motorcycle, but I did build with my friend Joe. We built this rubber band Gatling gun out of, like, balsa wood.
Yeah.
Right? And it worked. It was like you'd load up, like, 50 rubber bands on this thing, and it was like a machine gun, right? Most people, when you get into a rubber band fight at school or whatever, you're wrapping it around your hand,
yeah,
so it looks like
a
gun,
yeah,
and you just lower your thumb, and it shoots at the person, right? No, no, no. We busted out the heavy artillery, right?
Yeah.
And we're shooting this at, like, in the neighbor's driveway, at the neighbor's dog.
That'd be
the
harder to
kids.
Smuggle into school.
It would.
Okay, but it'd be more fun.
Yeah, during recess or something.
No, just throw it in your backpack.
Spring it to an assembly.
Okay. That would work. That would be the most useful time, because if you're going to get busted, you want to hit as many people with the rubber bands as possible.
Mm. To our watchers...
For all the school shooters out there. Assemblies.
Yeah. To our watchers of Watch.FreeTalkLive, Twitch, Odyssey, any of the video platforms we're on, the technicalities have been resolved. You should be seeing the show. The telephone number is 603-283-6160 if you'd like to join us. There is somebody on hold, and let's go to him. I think this is Tim. Am I right? Is it Tim?
Yep, it's Tim from Florida.
Hey, Tim, you are on Free Talk Live. What's on your mind tonight?
Well, you can hear me okay, presumably.
Yep.
Okay, because I'm on Bluetooth. Okay,
more than
cool.
Presumably.
So
affirmative.
Awesome. So I was driving home from work, and my uncle just passed away.
I'm sorry to hear that.
And
while you were driving home from work?
Right.
Well, he threw him out
while
the car.
I was driving home from work, but a few days ago. But my parents went. I stayed to watch the dogs, you know, my dog and my dog's dog, the Jack Russell. And anyway, so they're driving home. They're going to be back tomorrow, you know, in the evening.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm driving home from work, and I get a call from my stepdad. And he says, is it you? I said, is it me? And I said, is that a metaphysical question? He says, I'm not in the mood to joke right now. I'm pulled over. I said, where are you? He's like, I'm in Tennessee. They've separated your mother and I, and there she's going. I said, why did they pull you over? A crooked license plate.
What? They can't do that.
Well, no, they
can. They can.
A crooked license plate? It's on there.
Like,
you can see it.
Yep.
Like, they don't even really need to tell you why they pulled you over.
Was it an out-of-state plate or a rental car that they were able to identify somehow?
Well, it was a Florida plate because, you know, we live here in Fort Myers, Florida. You know, where the hurricane was.
And they love pulling over out-of-state plates. And that's like, you know, internationally, I'm sure. Cops love targeting people that are not from that
area. Looks like you're not from around here, son.
Right, because you're less likely to fight the charge because then you got to go back to the jurisdiction.
Exactly. So they separated your parents? What happened?
Yeah, and so my stepdad, I can hear his tone of voice. I know my stepdad really well, and I'm like, okay, don't insult them, because he says, oh, I said, where are you pulled over? What town are you in? Because I know why he's calling me. It's basically, you know, he's doing like a cell 411 thing, except directly. He needs a witness.
Right.
And he says, oh, it's Loserville. I'm like, it's not, really? Is that's the name of the town, Loserville? He's like, no, it's, I don't know if I can say it on air, but A-Holeville. And I'm Asheville, and he's like, I don't know. I'm like, all right, well, so my mom's getting it all squared away. I'm like, look, you know, maybe they had a reason, you know, maybe not, but just be respectful and you'll get out of it. Probably you'll get out of there. You'll be fine.
Just as a quick pro tip for anyone listening, a good thing to do in those situations, if you have a smartphone with, you know, service, drop a pin and send the pin, because then you have the exact location. Continue.
Oh. Nice.
Right. Go on with the story.
Yeah, that's a good idea.
So?
Anyway, that was it. You know, I just wanted to let you know. I mean, I thought that was kind of bizarre.
Oh, so, wait,
told my dad,
you don't...
I'm like, maybe...
You don't know what the rest of the story is? Like, what happened? That's all you know so far?
Oh, they let him go, but it's they're walking away from the vehicle, and my dad calls one of them a jackass. And I said, what are you doing? Because from what I've heard in certain municipalities, I don't know if they're in the country or in a municipality, but they're hiring people that are completely underqualified for, I don't know, racial reasons or something. I'm not sure, so don't quote me on that.
So a different thing happened to me, and I'll share my story since you seem to have wrapped yours. I got pulled over, sort of pulled over, in Hawaii for making an illegal U-turn.
Mm-hmm.
But I was, you know, by the time they had, I made a U-turn at a legal spot to get to my house because it's, you know, separated median. You got to turn around and come back going the other way.
Right, right.
So there's a place to make a U-turn.
Okay.
Right? And by the time, like, the cops came, I had already parked my car, gone into my apartment, and was, like, in bed. Because this was, like, 4 o'clock in the morning on a Sunday after partying it up Saturday night. But I wasn't drunk or anything because I don't do that. So they have me, like, you know, handcuffed on the curb, right? You know, it's like, you know, you made an illegal U-turn. I'm like, look, dude, the sign says, like, no U-turn when coned. There's no, you know, effing cones over there.
Right, right.
You know, are you calling my sergeant a liar? I'll call him more than that. Not only is he a liar, and I laid into him.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, I did spend the night in jail.
Yeah.
For a U-turn?
Yeah.
Well, and a few insults?
Well, failure to identify because they wanted my driver's.
Oh, you're right, yeah.
They wanted my driver's license. I'm like, this is not a traffic stop.
Guys, so they ripped you out
of
bed?
You guys knocked on my door. I wasn't even going to answer the door.
You shouldn't have.
The landlord came and knocked and said, the police are out here looking for you, and I don't want them kicking out his door.
Yeah, no, I hear you.
Right. I had that happen one time where the cops were called to do a welfare check on me.
Yeah.
I did a no-call, no-show for a job. I just quit, and I didn't tell anyone. And they decided that they were going to call for a welfare check because, you know, I hadn't checked in, and I didn't answer their calls.
Yeah.
And so, you know, I heard some knocks at the door. I just ignored it. I'm like, whatever, go away. And then I heard the landlord guy. You know, and he's like, well, you know, his car's here. I think he's home. And, like, I could hear the keys. And, you know, he's got a key to every door.
Yeah.
So I finally answer the door.
Right.
But
so I felt similar to that. But in the end, right, so I spent the night in jail. They released me the next day. When I showed up for court, they had dropped all the charges because they didn't have anything.
Yeah.
They were just harassing me, you know.
Did you get to turn around and sue them for the unlawful detaining?
I did not do any sort of appeals or anything like that.
Yeah.
I'm
happy to be free and screw you guys.
Well, I showed up to court, and, you know, I showed up to court, and my name wasn't on the docket. So like, oh, we don't have anything for you. I'm like, well, my paperwork says I'm supposed to be here. So I went to the prosecutor's office, you know, a block away.
How nice of them for them to tell you.
Right. But I went to the prosecutor's office and spent like 3 hours there to get paperwork from the prosecutor that, you know, documented that they had no intention on bringing this back up at any point in the future, so I didn't have it looming over my head.
Yeah.
A point that I'd like to make to our listeners, and that is the institution known as government, horrible at anything resembling customer service.
Yeah.
Just if you thought you had any expectations that things would go smoothly or there'd be somebody informative telling you what you need to do as each step of the way as it goes on, no, none of that happens. You're SOL, you're on your own, and they're going to be the least helpful.
And call them as many names as you want.
603-283-6160. Something about pets not being your friends. Coming up.
Are you a business owner? Are you confused by the complexity of the tax laws? We can help. I'm Dan Pilla, and I've been helping business owners solve tax problems for over 40 years. My book, The Small Business Tax Guide, shows proven ways to avoid all the common business tax problems. Don't risk your business. Go to danpilla.com to order your copy. That's danpilla.com. Order now and get a free 15-minute call directly with me, a $99 value. Go to danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com.
Looking for that edge during those intimate moments? We see many ads for enhancement, but the side effects include death. At GCN Team, we should change the Healthy Body, Brain, and Heart Pack to the Healthy Libido Pack. The brain and heart are not the only organs that require a healthy vascular system. For proper blood flow at the right moment, go to GCNteam.com or call 877-878-4203. That's 877-878-4203. That's 877-878-4203.
USA News Update. President Biden calling the shooting that left 8 victims dead at a Texas shopping mall too shocking to become so familiar to Americans. He urged Congress to send him a bill banning assault weapons and high-capacity magazines, along with enacting universal background checks. One border governor says the White House needs to start stepping up. on the border crisis.
Texas Governor Greg Abbott says more needs to be done before Title 42 expires on Thursday. Speaking on Fox News Sunday, he said President Biden's plan falls far short of what's needed.
President Trump sent soldiers to the border to secure the border. President Biden is sending 1,500, quote, soldiers to do paperwork.
And lottery fun rolls over again. The Mega Millions jackpot this Tuesday night will be worth $83 million. Dave Collins, USA News.
You don't sit behind a desk every day to earn a living. You're out and about making it happen. And sometimes you get a little bit behind on your paperwork, you know, like bookkeeping and paying your taxes. It's easy to get behind on paying your taxes. It happens to the best of us. And you know what happens next. The big bad IRS comes knocking on your door. And when that happens, you need to call the good old boys at the Tax Doctor. Let them do what they do best. Deal and negotiate with the IRS so you pay the lowest you can in back taxes that the law allows. We are a 100% U.S.-based company, and we've saved our clients millions over the years in back taxes. If you owe $10,000 or more in back taxes, call my friends right now at the Tax Doctor and learn more.
800-507-3137. 800-507-3137. 800-507-3137. That's 800-507-3137.
Jake was in big trouble with the IRS. He owed how much?
$92,000.
Ouch. The IRS left no room for Jake to breathe.
They put a lien on my house, took all the money out of my bank account, took money out of my paychecks. So it was a nightmare.
He needed help fast.
I figured that all these companies were the same until I called Federal Tax Management. You could just tell they knew what they were talking about. Right then and there, I felt like I had some hope.
Stop the liens, levies, and garnishments fast and qualify for one of several special IRS programs that could reduce or even eliminate your tax debt. So, how'd it go for Jake?
They did what they said they would do. They came through for me. I ended up saving an unbelievable amount. I was so jazzed. I was extremely happy.
If you owe more than $10,000 in back taxes, take Jake's advice.
Give Federal Tax Management a phone call. If they help me, they can help anybody.
Call the Federal Tax Management Hotline now. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625.
We still do email. Drop your email address in the entry box at freetalklive.com, and you'll be kept in the loop with Free Talk Live.
Yes, we are.
And we're free.
Well, at least we're free to be on the air. I don't know that, you know.
It's an asterisk with the freedom.
Yeah, it is one of the things that bothers me about, like, radio is the government monopoly, the FCC.
No bad word.
Yeah.
Well, you could, all the bad words you want, except for, like, a really narrow view of seven.
Those are, like, my favorite seven,
understood.
Though.
Well, there's seven, and then there's,
on,
like,
man.
And then there's, like, certain
things
ways,
you can't say.
Certain ways you can't talk about certain stuff, right?
Understood. Like,
so, if you keep it clinical, that's usually best. But that is one of the things that bothers me about, you know, like, oh, freedom of speech, you guys get to be on the radio, talk about whatever you want. Well, no, actually, we don't. Because there's some words that we can't use, or the show will get canned.
Yeah.
You know, banned or whatever. We'll get canceled, as the kids say these days. And so we have to be very careful about that. We love to bring our audience, you know, all sorts of things regarding freedom, philosophy of freedom, the actual, you know, putting freedom into action, right? The Free State Project, the larger liberty movement here in New Hampshire, as well as other places around the world doing that stuff. Peace, philosophy, prosperity. You know, all of those things we love talking about. But it is a challenge from time to time because when, and you guys know this, sitting here and anybody outside of, or anybody listening that's actually met me in real life knows, I cuss like a trucker.
Yep.
It's just how I talk.
Me too. Yep. I'm actually shocked that I've never cussed on this show before. Knock on wood. Don't want to jinx myself, but I've done pretty good the past, like, whatever, year and a half that I've been on this show. I'm impressed. You know? Good I'm job. A little bit of a sailor myself. So.
You got a bit of the corn cob pipe, if you know what I'm saying.
Yep.
Eating the spinach.
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay.
Not it.
No, I have no clue what you're talking about, but sure.
I know he was talking about Popeye.
But does Popeye say bad words?
No, he's a sailor.
Okay.
Yeah, he gets drunk.
And he mumbles a lot.
Yeah.
Okay.
I assume the mumbling is cussing.
And then there's a little toot from the horn. I was really upset.
Popeye the Stoner Man. Right, because he's got a pipe all the time. All right, what do we do here at Free Talk Live?
Talk about stuff.
Oh, I have to say something, though. I have to say Captain's Log, Stardate 0507-2023.
It's a little late for that, don't you think?
Better late than never.
That's true.
I mean, we do a thing on Beard Talk Live where we do we just call it the amble. Yeah, somebody wanted to call it the preamble, and I'm like, well, we never do it before the show. We always do it during the show, so it's not a pre-anything. And then sometimes we forget until, like, I think there was one show we did at the end. Like, we usually do it near the beginning, but, like, yeah. We forgot to do it. So at any rate, I had a point about all of that, and I can't remember what it was. So we're just going to go to some calls.
That's what we do here.
Yeah, that's what we do. Let's go to unscreened caller. What's your name, please?
Lonnie.
Hey, Lonnie. You're on Free Talk Live. What's on your mind?
Well, I was stationed at Fort Riley, Kansas in the mid-80s and had an apartment and had a knock at the door at 4 o'clock in the morning. Answered the door, and it was a Manhattan, Kansas police officer with a cable TV guy saying that they need to come into my apartment immediately and inspect my cable hookups.
Oh, you were stealing the cable. Had the old black box there.
And I told them to come back at a respectful hour, like 9, 10.
Yeah.
You know, by the way, bring your supervisor, unless you have a warrant.
Right.
Yeah. Come back with a supervisor and a warrant.
Yeah.
A supervisor and a warrant. At 10:30, they came back with the supervisor.
Wow.
And I was respectful. They came in, looked, and says, "You're good."
Why would they ever come at 4 o'clock in the morning?
I don't know. I guess somebody was stealing cable, and it took some of the systems out or whatever. And the supervisor was, like, very apologetic. And I says, you know, it's a good thing you didn't bust down the door because I was heavily armed at 4 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah, I mean, an intruder is an intruder, right? I mean, they're
on my door.
Yeah.
I feel like you may have gotten away with that in the 80s. Now, not so much. Because if they're going to kick in your door at 4 o'clock in the morning, they're also going to be more heavily armed than you. And they've already got their vests on.
But you don't sleep with your vest on?
What does that? Because it wouldn't surprise me if the answer is yes.
No,
we both do.
They have a Kevlar comforter.
Oh, okay.
So I'm told.
This was the mid-80s, and it was like, oh, no, I'm not letting you in.
Yeah.
Not at 4 o'clock in the morning. Go away. Come back.
Well, to answer Nikki's question more specifically, right, they do those things, like the no-knock raids and the early morning stuff.
Well, yeah, why'd they come here busting the doors down at 5 a.m.,
right.
you know?
Yeah. And it's partly to catch you off guard, and so you can't get rid of the evidence. Right, so theoretically, or hypothetically,
to be an a-hole.
Understood, but if he was stealing cable, and they showed up with the cable guy, right, at 4 o'clock in the morning without the warrant, and he goes, nope, come back later with the warrant, and then he unhooks the box and unhooks all the illegal stuff, right, and they come back 6 hours later, of course he's good, right? Because they've shown their hand ahead of time.
Yeah.
Right.
We go, hey, we're here to look for the drugs.
Now, I know.
All the drugs get flushed and moved and whatever.
I have a friend of mine who had one of these, pseudo-illegal black boxes.
I also had a friend.
Yeah. And he kept this interesting paperwork that came with the box. On the box, on the shelf of his entertainment center that said something along the lines of, hey, I am part of a test market testing this particular piece of equipment and blah, blah, blah. And so theoretically, this piece of paper, it's kind of like the sovereign citizens with their no license plate and drive around, you know, kind of that
this
thing.
Is
like
private, non-commercial
yeah,
use.
Yeah, like
only.
If you have the right paperwork, somehow the law is going to leave you alone about it. Like, it rarely works. It rarely works. But it did work in this particular instance, because much like Lonnie's description, he had, at a much more reasonable hour, had some official people show up at his door saying, hey, we're from the cable company, and, you know, we've detected, you know, some signal coming into your house, and, you know, you're not a customer of ours, you know, what's up? And he's like, oh, look, here, I bought this box from a mail order thing, and look, here's the paperwork that came with it. And they were like, oh, okay. And then they left.
Nice.
And that was it. That was the only interaction he ever had.
Well, the thing was, I had basic cable service. I didn't have any internet channels.
Okay.
Or
premium pay channels, right? Yeah.
Premium channels.
Yeah.
And it's like, I'm not going to show. I'm not going to dig around for the bills.
Right.
The hell with you.
Yeah. I got it, but I'm not even saying you were stealing the cable with the black box. Right, just that if they had come back 6 hours later for someone who was, right, the moment has passed to catch them.
Yeah, and oh, by the way, bring the warrant next time.
Right, that's where they made the mistake. They could have, like, they could have knocked on the door at 4 o'clock in the morning with a warrant, right, and then would have been compelled to enter, right. So mistake on their part.
Exactly.
So did anything else ever happen, or you know, did you basically get away with it?
They went away, and now, obviously, somebody was stealing the cable.
Right. Yeah.
In the building. But it wasn't me. It's like, go away.
Yeah. It just sucks that you have to, like, be harassed for something that somebody else does. And, hey, thank you for the call, Lonnie. We appreciate you.
Now it's so much easier. Just pirate it.
Well,
along with your internet connection, subscribe to a VPN.
Yeah, it's so much easier.
So I
steal everything you want.
When I was in high school,
stealing. It's copying.
Yeah, whatever. So I was
copying is not stealing. I just want to be clear to our listeners, because, like, you own a car.
Yeah.
You used to own what was your nice Subaru that you had?
WRX.
The WRX, right? Now, if I showed up to your house where your car is parked, and I got out a little gizmo that basically measured your car, you know, took pictures of the color, the interior,
the
exterior, all that kind of stuff.
3D printed the car and
then
whatever.
And then I copy your car so that now I have an exact duplicate of your car. Have I stolen your car?
No.
No, I haven't. And that's what happens with digital media. In order for something
or any intellectual property.
Correct. In order for something to be stolen, the person holding on to the original must be without the original. And so since that never happens, when copying occurs, stealing, theft, it's fake. It's something the recording industry, the media people made up to make you feel bad for copying something. Right? Like, you go to the library and you check out a book and you happen to have a scanner at your home office and you make a copy of a page. Have you stolen the book?
No.
What if you copy all the pages? Have you stolen the book?
Nope, because the book still exists.
Book still exists.
And if you bring it back to the library.
And the rightful owner gets it back.
But if you bind your copy and sell it.
I don't think so.
It's still not theft.
Well, they would consider a copyright violation.
Well, of course they would, but I don't care what they think.
Understood.
So anyway, I didn't mean to interrupt you.
No, that's all right. I wasn't really friends with this person, but I knew someone who allegedly this boy was pirating a lot of things on his parents' internet.
Mm-hmm.
And the cops showed up and were like, you guys aren't allowed to have internet anymore. So, like, forever, the cable company or wherever their internet provider was like, you are no longer allowed to have internet through us for the rest of forever.
Wow.
And his parents were really pissed off.
Wow.
Allegedly.
But there was competition. I got a bunch of
There's competition. Previously, it was like whoever your cable company is, like, that's pretty much where you got internet. Like, there weren't really a lot of options 15 years ago.
In the early days, they weren't as thorough with their copyright strikes, right? Then you amass too many of them, and they go, like, okay, you're done. But good thing there's cable competition and wireless competition, and, again, just, you know, AVPN has protected me for, what, over a decade now?
Yeah, it's not longer for me.
Yeah.
Like, I had a VPN way early when it, like, first came out, and there was only, like, the connection. Now you get a variety of stuff to choose from. Like, during Beard Talk Live, we had a guest on Zeffin, and he was checking on something we were talking about, RT, the website, and how, like, certain ISPs will block it.
Yep.
And certain ones won't, and so he was trying to access it from all of the different states using his VPN, because on his VPN you could scroll through alphabetically,
switch.
And you could switch to any state that you want, Alabama, Alaska, Arizona, Arkansas, California, anyway, the list goes on. And so he was doing that, and he tried, you know, some sampling, like five different states, and he's like, yeah, I can't get to it from any of them.
Really?
And, yeah.
Well,
yeah,
that's weird.
To, like, their homepage or whatever through there.
But you try a different country, and all of a sudden.
Right.
Yeah.
All of a sudden, boom, there it is. Yeah, so it's interesting, to say the least. Let's move on to, we've got another unscreened caller. What's your name, please? You're on Free Talk Live.
My name's Robert.
Hey, Robert. What is on your mind tonight?
Well, you know, I was thinking to myself, the greatest threat to us individually and as a society is basically mortality. In other words, the aging process. All of us are aging, and as we get older, our chances of getting a deadly disease actually increase. Yet, that's something that we don't really worry ourselves too much about. I've spoken to many people about it, and there is a process that
was
the development of something called telomere extension.
Yes.
And that was worked on about 20 years ago, and my mom and my sister were involved in the research, and the government cut it off and swept everything under the carpet, and nobody really has pursued it big time.
Yeah, I actually looked into some of this, because you've mentioned this a couple of times calling into Free Talk Live, and so I looked into telomeres. These are the sort of the ends of your DNA strands, and, well, the longer they are, the longer you live, thereabouts. Am I too far off?
Almost. You've almost got it. But actually, the ends of the telomeres, they're kind of tight at the ends, and they don't stick out too much, just enough. And then over time, they dissipate and sort of unravel, and you can get them to re-ravel. But you have to be careful, because they used an extract from cancer cells in order to get them to do that. But what happens is they only got it so far that they re-ravel, and the ends of the telomeres, they get a little bulbous, and that causes a problem, and that's what causes
ingrown telomere
cancer.
Bulbous telomere.
Exactly. And the end of the telomere, the end of this, they're little strands, and those strands turn bulbous at the end. But my mom and my sister, I know the way they spoke with me. I could tell in their voices, and I could tell in them, you know, you have a feeling what your sister and your mom are thinking. And I know that in the back of their minds, they were sure that they would be able to solve that problem, but they never got that chance. And I was just thinking to myself, and I've spoken to about it, people in the press, they say, oh, they'd always take it with a grain of salt. Yeah, sure. You and your family, they have another way to solve the aging process or something like that. In other words, you don't take it too seriously. But in reality, that could save us. But if we just keep dragging our feet and nobody does anything or says anything, it could be.
Yeah, I see where you're going. I see where you're coming from. I think that the reason that people don't really focus as much on mortality is because, up until now, it's really been just sort of something people can't do much about. Right.
Those are like the two certainties in life. Like, you're going to die.
Death and taxes.
Yeah, exactly.
Right. Well,
or you're going to, you know, life is created and life is destroyed.
Now,
that's it.
Now, to me, like, something that is, I don't know if it's more important than mortality, but I would look at what is the largest destroyer of human life. And that, of course, is the organization type known as government. If you look up democide, you will find, just shy of 300 million people in the 20th century alone died as a result of the existence of governments, not including war. So that's without war, without the death total of war being included in the 20th century, something like 275 million, something like that, in that ballpark. I don't remember the exact number, 278 maybe. But that is a lot of people. That's almost the entire population of the United States.
I mean, I guess where I disagree with this whole discussion is I don't think death is a bad thing. You know, think of it. So if there's a way to prevent death, the first people that are going to be able to access it are all like the really rich, evil old people,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
So, well, I mean, if they died, I don't think that would be an issue.
It could also really be the really rich, benevolent old people. Benevolent?
I guess so, yeah. But I just don't think, I mean, like, I'm not afraid of dying. I don't know. I also believe in reincarnation, so maybe that also helps. But
well, you could go back to your prime, you know, by with telomere extension. You could go back to your prime.
I'm in my prime.
So you could stay there.
You could stay in your
prime. Or I could just keep doing yoga and eating healthy, and then I'll stay in my prime.
No, that wouldn't work. I'm telling you, that would not work.
You know what? I would say, so my first yoga teacher.
Nick's afraid of getting old. Not afraid of dying.
So my first
getting old.
My first yoga teacher. My first yoga teacher was 85 years old. She could hold the plank for 5 minutes. You know, she would run laps around all of us youngsters who were like, you know, whatever, 15, you know, 16 years old at the time.
Yeah.
So I do think, like, it isn't just, like, genetics and luck. Like, people love, oh, I just have bad genes. No, you eat at McDonald's and you don't exercise. And I'm not saying those things are necessarily, like, horrible. Do whatever
you
want.
That's why your genes don't fit.
That's why your genes don't fit. Exactly. Like, if you, people that are really serious about their health and, you know, go above and beyond and, you know, like, I mean, look at Wim Hof. He's super old, and he, you know, is playing a guitar on the top of Mount Everest and stuff like that, you know? So it's, there are ways to age and die gracefully.
Yeah.
I'm not talking about aging. There, you can live forever, but you can go back to your prime. The aging process is irreversible. You can go back to the age, to your prime, which is 18 to 23, and stay there forever.
So, hold on. Where can somebody sign up for this, Robert? Are you...
You can't sign up for it currently. That's the problem. The government is not pursuing it. The only guy who's pursuing it is the King of Saudi Arabia, and I think that's because of his daughter who has his ear, and his daughter knows somebody, namely my sister, who is involved in that, and that's, I believe, what's happened. And I believe that's why he's dedicated.
Let's take a step back for a minute and just look at how narrow the scope of human time we're looking at here, right? And if we can, like, extend our consciousness above the human timeline, we as a species have a long way to go, right, before we're going to be extinct naturally, right? So Robert's putting all this focus on telomeres now, right, because he's at the end of his narrow little timeline. Right, but humans will eventually get there, and it might be 1,000 years, 10,000 years, but there will be humans out there, and maybe it takes that long for them to cycle back to this telomere thing, and for technology to advance to the point where it makes sense to do that, and then they'll bring back Mark's frozen head and put him in a robot body.
I was going to go there. I'm curious if Robert has any plans to have himself, you know, cryogenically frozen or what have you, like, you know, before you die, so to speak, or when you die.
No, I don't. But my mom, who was a member of the Futurist Society and also had a PhD in administration, said to me that I will miss it, but my sister, who's 10 years younger than I am, will catch it. So that's what she figured the timeline would be. She died in 2018, but she was very good at predicting the future. She had the future down to a science, and that's what she predicted.
Well, I fear that she will be wrong by at least a millennia.
Time will tell. Robert, thanks for the call.
I won't be here to cash in on
what,
that.
What, in 10 years?
The government's going to get out of the way and let you re-ravel your telomeres in 10 years?
I don't know.
I must be off my game because there was certainly a joke to be made in there about, you know, Robert's mom liking bulbous telomeres or something. And I totally missed out on it. Mm. You know, it just didn't come to me.
I mean, he does have a sister.
Yeah, okay.
There's always time.
Either way, like, I just, I'm off my game, guys.
Okay.
Sorry. You're going to have to pick up my slack for me.
Get on it.
Yeah, that's all I'm saying. I mean, that's not all I'm saying. We have a whole show to do, so I'm going to obviously say more.
Pull your pants up. Your telomeres are dragging.
Pull up your pants and rap like the Duke. we're supposed to be talking about stuff.
Oh, spaghetti. Yeah.
Pasta.
Pasta.
Pasta. You know, it really bakes my noodle.
Oh, my gosh. So do you think it was spaghetti or rotini?
I actually know.
Rigatoni?
I actually know the variety of pasta because, well, I read the article.
Did you?
Yeah, I read them all. Yep. I went and had some dinner, and while I was dinnering, I was reading. Re-dinnering? Dinner eating?
There's a company that's, like, perfecting the pasta. it's like SF Giolino or something. I get ads for them on Facebook because I'm totally interested.
Yeah. Do you make your own? I make my own pasta.
And no. It's delicious.
Do you? But yeah, I bet it's like gluten-free and...
It's just egg and flour.
I buy like the 65-cent box at Market Basket.
Yeah.
Because I'm lazy.
I boil it. Does that count?
I mean, you guys know
that...
I make
it soft.
Yeah, you guys know that I rarely eat pasta these days, but...
Oh, okay.
But, you know, back in the day, and I'm talking 4 years ago or something like that, there was a time when I would make all my own bread. I used to keep, I don't know what you call it, but, like, I just had this living Tupperware container with flour, water, and yeast in it.
The starter?
The sourdough starter.
It wasn't sourdough, though.
Just
the
starter.
It was just regular ass bread.
But it gets sour.
It never got sour. It was just
how
bread, water, and yeast, and it just sat in there. Whenever I needed a loaf, I'd just reach in and grab a clump and throw it into a greased bread pan,
cool.
Chuck it in the oven, and every now and again you'd have to add more to it or whatever. So it was a starter in that respect, but it wasn't sourdough specifically.
That's so strange. I've never heard of that.
It's fridge bread. I think if you just Google fridge bread. Yeah, yeah. It's supposed to be the
one
easiest
step above
way.
Canned bread.
Yeah. And so I would do that, and then I'd also make my own pasta, which is just egg and flour.
Yeah.
Pasta is incredibly easy, and then I had one of these pasta rollers.
Yeah.
Right? So you just roll it out with a rolling pin. I used something else for a rolling pin because I didn't actually own a rolling pin, but whatever, I figured it out.
The top side of the bone.
No, I think I ended up using like a, I think I filled like a long.
Just use like a water bottle.
Yeah,
you know?
I think I filled like a smart water bottle with sand to give it some heft.
Yes.
You know,
that
seemed to work for for a rolling pin. But then I had one of these. It was like it clamped on the side of your counter, and you could just take the dough and roll it through, and it roll it thin enough.
Yeah.
And then I would cut it with a pizza cutter, so all the strands of pasta were totally uneven or whatever. But it was so damn delicious.
Mm-hmm. Fresh pasta is next level.
Yeah. At any rate,
I didn't make my own sauce. I'd buy the meatballs
pathetic.
In the freezer.
Oh, pathetic.
What would happen if you tossed a whole bunch of pasta into a public waterway? We'll find out coming up. It's Free Talk Live. Hour number two is next. 603-283-6160.
No matter where you live, what you make, or who you voted for, there are some things that will impact all of us soon. Whether you're concerned about the alarming increase in man-made disasters, financial institutions collapsing, or worsening food shortages, Americans are preparing in numbers not seen since World War II. What's changed is how we prepare. And the folks at My Patriot Supply have made it easier than ever for you to have peace of mind, knowing you're ready for what's next. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com and stock up on over a dozen emergency food kits. These include tasty breakfasts, lunches, dinners, drinks, fruits, veggies, meats, and snacks, averaging over 2,000 calories per day. Get at least one kit per person. As we all know, calories equals energy equals survival. My Patriot Supply food kits are in stock and shipped discreetly. We've seen too many Americans let down by institutions we used to trust. It's time to rely on ourselves. MyPatriotSupply.com. MyPatriotSupply.com.
Jake was in big trouble with the IRS. He owed how much?
$92,000.
Ouch. The IRS left no room for Jake to breathe.
They put a lien on my house, took all the money out of my bank account, took money out of my paychecks. So it was a nightmare.
He needed help fast.
I figured that all these companies were the same until I called Federal Tax Management. You could just tell they knew what they were talking about. Right then and there, I felt like I had some hope.
Stop the liens, levies, and garnishments fast and qualify for one of several special IRS programs that could reduce or even eliminate your tax debt. So, how'd it go for Jake?
They did what they said they would do. They came through for me. I ended up saving an unbelievable amount. I was so jazzed. I was extremely happy.
If you owe more than $10,000 in back taxes, take Jake's advice.
Give Federal Tax Management a phone call. If they help me, they can help anybody.
Call the Federal Tax Management Hotline now. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625.